And welcome, everybody, to the Lakers Outsiders podcast. I am your host, Gary Kester. Joining me almost as always, my partner in crime, live from Reno, Nevada, or somewhere close to it. Hani, how's it going, man?
Pretty good. Reno, Nevada is not a great place to live right now. Two straight losses, one for the Wolfpack, one for the Bighorns.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that Wolfpack loss. Who did they lose to again?
The Boise State Sack of Potatoes, I think, is the team name.
It's the Potato State University. Those guys with the oddly colored football field. That's how people know us now. I'm not gonna lie. That win felt good. That felt good to have that one over you.
I'm still so mad.
And when Nevada comes here and wins, you can throw it back in my face.
I hope so.
Oh man. So college basketball aside, let's talk. This is a Lakers podcast after all, so I guess we'll talk a little bit about the Lakers. The Lakers played the Golden State Warriors for the third time tonight. And just like the first two, they got beat pretty badly on the scoreboard. But it's to be expected. Admittedly, I didn't get a chance to watch the game. I was working during the game, and I kind of was happy about it. But I'm going to throw this one to you, just to kind of recap the game, maybe some positives, some negatives, some things just that jumped out at you.
I think mostly, for the most part, the game was a pretty big positive for the Lakers. They were in the game for the first 2.5 quarters before the Warriors turned into the Warriors again. Mm-hmm. And the young guys were all pretty good. I don't think any of them had their best game, but all of them were pretty solid at the same time, which was pretty cool to see. Kobe was kind of up and down. He didn't play really well, but he had his moments where he was somehow turned into like prime Kobe defending Klay Thompson, which was really weird, kind of awesome, but also really scary with the whole Achilles tendon thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think the biggest positive for me was seeing Tariq Blackett on the court, though. It's been a long time, and I needed assurance that he was still alive.
I know. It figures like a game I'm not able to watch. I mean, I'll watch it. I'll watch it a little later on, but like the game I'm not able to watch live, Tariq Black finally gets in there. And I looked at his – I did look at his numbers. He was, I think, 6 points, 6 boards. He seems to be pretty good at that. He seems to be good at just racking up, a solid, consistent amount of points and rebounds. And, he just does a solid job. I don't know why it's such a hassle to get him minutes. It almost takes, two or three injuries just to get him a chance.
Yeah.
And not really sure why that's the case. But since we're on the subject of Tariq Black, and we'll come back to the game in a second, obviously, he's a high-energy guy. We talked a little bit about this last time. But I noticed that you brought up a good point on the just running the Twitter account tonight. I did see one of your tweets about his ability to roll to the basket. Just go ahead and talk about kind of what that does for the Lakers offense and kind of how that feeds into everything that they're trying to do.
There's so many different things that come out of it. For one, it's just really good for just the confidence of guys like D'Angelo Russell and Jordan Clarkson, because they're so much better when they play with him in pick and rolls, because he rolls to the rim so hard every single time, and he's really good at catching the ball, unlike Roy Hibbert. He's really good at jumping up in the air for lobs, and he's really good at finishing around the rim, but just dunking it and laying it up or whatever. And not only is that good for those guys because they can rack up assists and it helps their confidence, but it also, once he plays a little while and defenses get used to watching him basically dunk every single time, they're going to start crowding the paint a lot more, which opens up space for a bunch of other guys.
Right.
I saw one play where I think it was D'Angelo and Tariq running a pick and roll. The whole Warriors team basically just went into the paint to make sure he didn't get a dunk, and Russell threw a really nice pass to Lou Williams. I don't think they got points out of it, but it was the moment where either Lou could have gotten a shot, or while I think Klay Thompson was closing out on him, he could have easily attacked off the dribble and gotten a layup for himself.
Right. And that's the whole point, is that it creates a quality look, you know, whether it's a drive, it's a blow by and drive to the basket, or it's an open shot from the perimeter. Yeah, I mean, as you were kind of talking about that, one thing that popped in my head was Tarik Black is like the complete opposite of Roy Hibbert as a pick and roll player. Like, he's a guy that catches passes. He's a guy that finishes well inside. He doesn't end up on the floor, for one. And like, he's a good athlete. You know, he gets up and you can throw lobs to him and things like that. And yeah, I mean, it's just like I said, it's just very confusing to why the Lakers haven't utilized him. I saw this on Twitter earlier today. I don't know who it was. It might have been Jerry Kachoyan. I think that's who it was. But brought up the point, maybe they're not playing him a lot because they, you know, they wanted him back on a really cheap deal next year. And maybe they feel like if they play him consistently that teams are going to start to take notice and like, hey, this guy's pretty good. He can be, you know, a backup power forward, a backup center, whatever the case may be. And, you know, so maybe that's something that factors into it. I think Tarik Black likes LA though. I mean, you know, once the Rockets cut him, nobody else really wanted him. I mean, the Lakers picked him up and have somewhat given him a chance, I guess. Not really a fair chance this year, but no, I mean, he's a guy I want to see on this team moving forward because I think he's a great fit alongside those guys, you know, Clarkson and Russell. And I'd like to see, you know, Randall at the four and him at the five at times, you know. So, you know, you can't underestimate his importance in the pick and roll game because the Lakers have pick and roll guards, you know.
Right. So. They had a lineup of Russell, Clarkson, Anthony Brown, Randall, and Black at one point, and it was just – I don't have numbers on it. And I don't – like, I don't even remember if they really played all that well together, but it was just so nice to see that.
Oh, man. I'm going to definitely have to go back and watch the game tonight then. Like, I didn't even realize that they had that lineup. Like, that's – I mean, that's awesome right there. That's a lineup. Yeah. Like, I mean, you talk about floor spacing, guys that can, you know, dive to the basket and pick and roll players. Like, oh, man. D'Antoni actually really loved that lineup.
He had a really good play, Tarik Black did there too, where he really helped Randall. They ran a pick and roll with Randall, and Randall was under control, got the ball, and dumped it off to Tarik Black because he's really good at also cutting behind defenders when he's not in the pick and roll. Mm-hmm. And he got a dunk off of that, and that was really nice to see too.
Yeah. I mean, Tarik Black, he's just a solid player. I mean, no really other way to put it. I mean, a lot of fans from other teams might not know about him because he hasn't played a whole lot, but I mean, we've seen enough to kind of show like his motor and his ability to, I mean, in his own way, kind of break down a defense just by how effective he is rolling to the basket and setting solid screens, and things like that, you know? I mean, just little things like that, man, they kind of go unnoticed at times. And I think his impact outweighs maybe his statistical production. So, definitely want to see him get more minutes moving forward. And I think Laker fans everywhere can agree on that. So, let's go back to the game a little bit. This was Kobe's last time playing in Oakland at Oracle Arena. And I did see Jerry West's tribute to him before the game. What were some of your thoughts on that?
Tribute was pretty awesome, seeing the guy that basically drafted Kobe by trading for him, and just talk about how much he saw in Kobe just from workouts. They also interviewed him during the game, and he said something about basically seeing in Kobe's eyes that he was going to be really amazing. I don't necessarily buy that entirely. I'm guessing he saw more than just Kobe's eyes before he decided to trade Vlade Divac for him, but either way, it was pretty cool to see just like a really legendary guy see that at 17 years old, he knew Kobe was going to be really great.
Yeah. I mean, that tribute was, I mean, it was really something. I mean, I was watching that and all I could think of was like, man, how is Kobe getting through this without just like, you know, the tears flowing? I mean, because that was, like you said, I mean, that was the guy that saw something special in a 17-year-old kid coming out of, you know, high school in Pennsylvania, you know, that a lot of people didn't. And, you know, it's crazy kind of the story that those two have together. It's kind of like a father-son relationship. And, you know, It's two Laker greats that made their own legacies with the Lakers and brought a lot of fond memories to this franchise. So really cool to see that tonight. Okay, so
also really cool innovation you got at the end. Kobe getting subbed out in the fourth quarter. That was one of maybe the best ovation I've seen him get during this whole farewell tour thing. It was pretty cool.
It's well, and the funny thing is, like, going into this, I mean, I kind of predicted, I guess expected this, because, you know, I mean, you kind of hate these players. Like, you hate certain guys. Well, I don't know if you want to say hate, but there's certain players that you just don't like. But they're great players, and you know, when they start to go, you just start to appreciate them. And it's great to see Kobe get this. And you know, I've seen some people say like, "Oh, he's gone soft this year," and it's like, you know, he's been like a fiery competitor for 19 years. You know, like he deserves everything he's getting this year because he's meant so much to the game. And you know, I know I'm not the only person that grew up wanting to be exactly like number 24. So he's meant a lot to, I know, just thousands of young fans and adult fans everywhere. So you know, Kobe, if you ever watch this, man, you deserve it. And
yeah, dude,
make sure you play next Saturday.
Oh man, we thought we were gonna make it through without any internet problems, but Gary's out, and I'm just going to talk for a couple of seconds until he's back.
Yeah, little hiccup. That's the bad thing. It's like I didn't know if it was me or you, so I was like, I'll just assume it's me and just get back. Like, set my connection. Okay, so we've talked about Kobe. We've talked about Lakers past. Now let's talk about Lakers future and present. So I noticed after the game that a lot of people were not happy with either Julius Randle or D'Angelo Russell. Basically, one guy even said that Julius Randle is quote unquote trash or weak.
Oh man! Oh and man!
I went and looked at the box score because I didn't get to watch the game, and I was like, I was expecting Randle to be like 2 of 14, like something like that, like a bad game. And I'm like, okay, 7 of 14, that's not bad, 50%. It's like 14 points, okay. 9 rebounds. It's like, what is this guy complaining about? like that's a solid game. Like, I think Randle played like 29 minutes, and I think Russell did too, and Russell had 14 points and 3 assists. But but no, and I proceeded to get into a little argument with this guy, and I think he took it a little more personally than I did because I actually was presenting stats and stuff, but... The response I got was that Randle could easily be an 18-point, 13-rebound-per-night guy. And that was the point where I was just done with the conversation because, obviously, I wasn't going to get anywhere. So we're going to talk a little bit about just expectations of young players nowadays with the social media era and just all that. You know, it's pretty crazy. Just, I mean, these kids are expected to be stars right away from certain fans. And, I mean, you know, it's just absurd to me. You know, Hani, what are some of your thoughts? Do you think, you know, if you're drafted in the top 10, you should be at least, like, really, like, somewhat solid right away? Or should they be really good? Or, like, am I being too patient with these guys or what?
No, I don't think you're being too patient. I think obviously you expect guys in the top 10 to be pretty impactful right away and just play big minutes for you and be able to do nice things. But for the most part, what I want to see is just kind of the potential and the ceiling that they have. Like if that guy's saying that he's trash, but he can easily be an 18 and 13 guy, that shows me that he has a ton of potential and he can be really good. So like, I mean, yeah, maybe he's not doing that right now in basically his rookie year, but it shows you that he can be really good. Plus he already had like 22 and 15 against the Mavs one time, but whatever. and like the same thing with Russell, where he struggled a little bit early on, both in preseason and a little bit in the regular season, but now he looks like he might be the best player on the team. And like tonight, he didn't have a statistically awesome game, but he held his own going against the best point guard in the league. Somebody told me he looks like a high schooler playing against pros, and I'm like, well, one, he's only 1 year removed from high school, and two, he's playing a pretty damn good game.
Well, and it's crazy that people, you know, like Randle had 14 points and nine boards, you know, and he's going up against guys like Draymond Green and, you
And
know.
he actually played pretty good defense on Draymond too. I saw Draymond's mom was pretty ticked off at her own son for not playing well.
Oh, you gotta love those players' moms. No, I mean, and that was part of my point tonight was that, you know, the Lakers are going up, they were going up against the best team in the league. You know, these are the defending champs that have lost, what, three games all year, and we're halfway through the season. I mean, just putting up video game like numbers as a team. And, you know, I mean, I look at how some young guys have performed, just in years past. When you look at Andrew Wiggins last year, I mean, everybody was quick to label him a bust right away because he wasn't scoring efficiently. And young guys usually don't score efficiently, you know, even if they're centers. Like, I mean, I don't know what Jahlil Okafor is shooting. I don't know what Karl Towns is shooting, but, you know, they're
Karl
guys.
Towns has been pretty awesome.
Yeah, Towns has been like really good, but I mean, he's had his moments too where you can tell, like, you know, this is a rookie. So, no, it's just crazy that everybody's so quick to judge these kids. You know, Randall, I think, just turned 21. Russell's still 19. You know, I kind of compare it to somebody starting a brand new job, you know, and just throwing them out there to the wolves, like without much training. You know, it's like obviously you're not going to be that great at it right away. You know, it takes time, it takes repetition and practice. And, you know, I mean, this is, you know, I'm not comparing like every, you know, an everyday job to the NBA or anything, but it's kind of like that situation where you just need time to get, you know, acclimated with, I mean, the way the game's played, the speed of the game, because it's a completely different challenge every single night. And, you know, everybody forgets like Kobe's rookie year wasn't very good, you know, and I think he turned out okay. I mean, so I don't know. It's just crazy to me that we expect so much, and I think it's a product. Would you say that it's a product of kind of the era that we live in with social media and all that sort of thing?
I think so. I mean, like, as Lakers fans, a lot of us probably see just highlights of the other rookies, and you see like Karl-Anthony Towns does something really awesome, or Porzingis throws down a giant putback dunk or whatever, and you think that those guys are playing really well all the time, and they've been absolute stars right away in their rookie year, and then you see D'Angelo Russell during the whole game, and maybe he doesn't do as many fancy things, he doesn't put up as many great numbers. But he'll do a few really good things, and you don't notice the whole game, but you see all those little clips of him not doing as many starry kind of things as the other guys, and all of a sudden it's like he's not as good.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things. Like I've been in a number of arguments with people on the subject about, you know, what to expect from rookies right away and this and that. And, you know, I mean, the key is for them to keep improving. And I mean, the encouraging thing with the Lakers young guys is they've all shown flashes of what they can be, you know, and you know, if Russell's career high or season high this year was like 14 points, 15 points, it's like, yeah, you might have a little bit of a, you know, an argument there, but he's had multiple point games where he was, you know, just lighting a defense up, whether it was, you know, with his passing or just scoring at will. I mean, he's had at least a handful of games where he scored over 20 points this year. And I mean, the kid's 19, you know, so. You know, they've shown flashes. It just takes a couple years, you know, to really put it all together and become consistent. You know, I mean, Anthony Davis, you look at what he is now, like his first 2 years were up and down. You know, he was very talented, obviously, but you know, he wasn't anything what he is now. That like third year, I think it was his third season, was like the crossover point where he went from like this young player trying to piece it all together to just like, wow, like he's really figuring it out now. And people forget.
And even now, he's struggling every now and then. Like, yeah, he's been in the league a long time. He just got a massive extension, and he still has those games where you're like, okay, he's still like 23 or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And you know, it's, I don't know. I think it's a product of everybody kind of has a voice nowadays, you know, with Twitter and Facebook and all this stuff. As you know, in the old days, it was kind of like, you know, you just kind of heard what reporters said and beat writers and things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, my advice is to all of you out there, just be patient, just relax. This is my Aaron Rodgers moment. Just relax.
Oh man, I made a good joke, and Gary,
my internet was telling me to relax. Apparently. Okay. So yeah, that's. I mean, that's. Do you have anything else you wanted to add to that?
I mean, man, relax is a trigger word for Gary's internet, apparently.
Okay, I think I'm okay. I think we're okay. See, it was all your internet before we went on, and now mine's just choking on the big stage. Okay. Now, did you have anything else? I know. My internet should be averaging 18 and 13 a game. All right. Did you have anything else that you wanted to kind of just add on the subject?
Maybe since we were talking about examples of guys, what about Jordan Clarkson? Like, he was pretty bad early on. The first couple of games that he got minutes, he wasn't very good at all. And then post All-Star break, he turned into an All-NBA rookie. So
yeah, I mean,
I think we're okay waiting.
Yeah, and that's true. And that's, I mean, and you look at Clarkson too. He was 22 years old at the time, you know, so he was 3 years older as well. So, you know, I mean, it just takes some time. Every now and then you'll get a LeBron or a Tim Duncan, guys that come in and just produce right away in multiple facets of the game. But I mean, even like Jahlil Okafor, you look at now, like, yeah, he scores really well. And I don't know how efficient he's scoring. I think it's decent, but I mean, you look at other aspects of the game and he's really struggling, like defensively, on the glass, and you know, just, I mean, things like that, you know, and it just takes time, you know, so just gotta be patient, enjoy the process, enjoy watching these guys grow. And, you know, the end result, the final product will hopefully be satisfying.
Yep.
All right. So now that we're done backing up the young players, even though one of them was singing Lady Gaga in the locker room after the game. Looking at you, D'Angelo Russell. For those of you that...
paparazzi while the interview's going on.
Yeah, I'm sitting there watching Jordan Clarkson's interview, and I hear just like this high-pitched singing voice in the background. I'm like, who the hell is singing? I thought it was Nick Young, to be honest.
That's what you'd expect.
Yeah, and John Ireland asked the Clarkson, what do you think of D'Angelo Russell singing? And he's like, well, he just needs to shut up. Oh, man. It was a good moment to end the night. But okay, so we got a couple questions. Not a whole lot. This is a really late podcast, so apologize for that. But some of us have to work. And our first question was from Kyle Hartwick, one of our other rookie outsiders. And he just asked, why does Byron? So
answer is yes.
Yeah, yes. And we'll move on to the next question. Okay, and then this question comes from somebody I think that lives in Utah. And he asked, did the Lakers get on the plane to Utah tonight? And we were both kind of researching it a little bit before we went on, and I don't know. I mean, I could see why they would, you know, because then they could kind of rest up a little bit tomorrow, and they wouldn't have to travel. But I mean, the trip back home to LA tonight would be really quick, and then they could leave tomorrow morning. So I don't know. I have plenty of experience seeing Lakers games in Utah. So if you're curious, I know a lot of Laker fans try and find their like hotel to see like them get on the bus and stuff. Which I've done that, and it's pretty cool. I think if you're in Utah tomorrow or Friday, Saturday, the last time I was there, they stayed at the Grand, I think it was the Grand America Hotel, and we got like really good pictures and stuff, and a lot of Laker fans there. It was really cool, fun environment. So maybe check that out. I don't know if they've changed. They probably will now that I just, put this on the internet where they stay when they're in Utah. But
Millions of people are going to that hotel
oh
after
yeah.
listening to this podcast.
We're gonna get like a live helicopter feed, like, oh, there's a massive audience in front of the Lakers hotel. Oh, you're welcome, Lakers. That's all I gotta say. Okay, our next question is candy related.
Oh boy.
We talked about Oreos last time, and they still haven't agreed to become our sponsor, which is something. But our very own Matt Vizine asks, is Idaho Spud edible? And honey, I take it you've never had an Idaho Spud bar.
No, but I mean, just the fact that it's a candy bar that has the word spud in it makes it seem like it's not edible.
I will say, I don't know if they're sold outside of Idaho. I've had my share of Idaho Spud bars. They're all right. They're not bad. When Matt does his candy bracken, if they're a 16 seed, vote for him.
We got to get the Toblerone love though, because he told me nobody votes for Toblerones, and I don't get it. Idaho Spud got Gary's internet going out again. So, while we're subject.
How dare my internet to interrupt me when I'm trying to talk about Spud bars here, man. No, Spud bars are all right. They've got like a kind of a coconut thing going to them. It's
Okay.
like chocolate with some coconut, and they're not bad. They're not bad.
So why are they called Spud bars? There's nothing potato related to them.
I mean, they kind of shape like a potato. And like the bag that they're in is like brown. It's got like a
Potato
potato
sack.
pattern on it. Yeah, like it's
That's so weird. I'll never understand Idaho.
I'm gonna send Idaho Spud bars to everybody in the Lakers Outsiders. That's just what I'm gonna do.
I'd rather be a Spud Bar outsider.
The Spud Outsiders. Oh man. Okay, so we've got an actual Laker question. Now that we're done talking about potato candy bar. So it's a draft question from somebody who has like an awesome avatar. It's at BJ underscore Meta, who has Peyton Manning with longer hair, and it's fantastic. But it's a draft question. Says Simmons and Ingram are the standouts who we must take, obviously, if we're in the top two. And his question is, what are your thoughts on trading the, if we land with the third pick, what are your thoughts of trading it?
I would seriously consider it. I'll put the caveat on that I know basically nothing about the rookie class. But from what I've just read, basically on Twitter, I know that Simmons and Ingram are basically the two guys that you can't really pass on. And after that, it's just a mess of guys that are potentially pretty good, but they're just not locks by any means. So, depending on the trade, obviously, I would definitely consider trading it. It's just you got to make sure you can get something pretty good, because if not, I'd rather have the young talent that you can build around.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, it's all dependent on the value that you can get back. If you can get an established player that's, I mean, pretty good already, then yeah, I mean, depending on the player, I would be definitely in favor of it because, I mean, the Lakers have a pretty good nucleus of young talent, but I mean, it always helps to have more young talent, and I just think they could flip that asset for something pretty good. But at the same time, they might not be able to because after the top two, there's quite a drop off. You know, I mean, there's really no clear cut number three in this draft. You know, it's a complete toss up. So I'd be in favor of trading it, though, if they can get the right deal. But if not, I mean, having a young player that's going to be on a very team friendly contract for, you know, 4 or 5 years or whatever the case is. And you basically control his rights because he'd be a restricted free agent after that initial contract. You know, you control his rights for the first decade of his career. So, you know, it's, I mean, that's always a good perk to have. So
the other thing is, I think it's tough to trade like just a pick for a player. You're going to have to send stuff back to match up contracts, and the Lakers don't really have anything to give contract wise.
Yeah, and it's tricky at that time of the year because of the Stepien rule. The Lakers have to, if they keep this pick and if they want to trade it, they actually have to make the pick first, which obviously you can work out an arrangement with a team, you know, and draft who they want. But they have to actually use the pick first because, you know, you can't go 2 years in a row without not having a first round pick. So, So yeah, that's something to keep an eye on. But I mean, it's a long way away. But like you said, you'd have to have, you know, some other moving parts in there because the rookie salary for the number three pick is, I think, is around 4 or 5 million, which it might be different with the cap increasing this year. I don't know how it's going to work. I haven't really looked into that yet. But yeah, it's hard to get like an established quality player for 5 million. You know, especially with the way contracts have just continuously, you know, started booming over the past few off seasons and along those lines. So, well, it's fun to talk about though. It's definitely something to look forward to.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, that's actually it for our questions. Everything on my timeline is the whole D'Angelo Russell singing in the background. So, if you haven't seen that, definitely go to at the Donald G NBA. He's kind of the go-to guy for videos after games, and he's got that of D'Angelo Russell singing, and it's great. So, all right, I think that's gonna do it for us today. Mahani, do you have anything else you wanted to talk about? Any questions? Anything at all?
No, not a whole lot. Just getting excited about playing in Utah in a couple of days. Well, not me, but the Lakers. I'm still a free agent if they want to holler. I'll take that 10-day deal.
Throw me in that boat too, Lakers. I can be a catalyst too. So,
but make it quick because school starts on Tuesday, so I can't really.
I was in school all week, so they're gonna have to work around my school schedule. Oh man. All right, before this gets out of hand like the last podcast with the Oreos, I think we're going to sign up. Thanks everybody that followed along. Thanks to those that sent us questions. We got one serious question, so that's pretty good. Hani, thanks for jumping on the podcast with me, even though your team lost the other day. Yeah. Just gotta throw that out there that Boise State beat Nevada in basketball. And so I'm not even gonna talk trash because I know as soon as I do, Boise State's gonna lose. So
that's what happened to me.
Yeah, don't talk trash till after the games are over, kids. All right, that's gonna do it for us. Lakers play in Utah on Saturday evening. So yeah, stay tuned for that. We'll try and have a podcast after that game and discuss what happens next. So we'll see you guys later.